Also, I want to say really appreciate the response from last Sunday. Those of you that may not have been here may not know, but we have a screen up that reminds you as you come in the sanctuary. We're asking you to turn off all your electronic devices, turn off your phones, turn off all your devices, and concentrate and let the Lord speak to you. I appreciate the response. I appreciate the positive nature of the response. If you're on call for your job, we certainly understand that. You keep your phone on vibrate, silent. If you need to go, we understand that. And there's no question about that. We know that in this day and age, it seems that these things have become more of a distraction, but especially they've become a distraction in the house of God lately, and we want to try to help that. So we appreciate your understanding and appreciate the positive response. Thank you for that. So this morning, as you're opening your Bible, and if you want to take notes in your notebook of some type, I encourage you to do that. We'll give you some things. We'll have a PowerPoint here that you can follow along and write some things down if you feel led to do that. Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 9 is our text. If you found that, we invite you to stand to honor the reading of the Word of God. Writer of Proverbs says in verse 9 of chapter 3, "Honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase." Honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. I want to preach to you this morning on the subject the Lord has laid upon my heart, sort of a continuation in a way to help us understand last week and help us to apply and put these things in part of our lives. Message I've entitled, "Keeping God in the First Place in Your Life." Keeping God in the first place in your life. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the precious time we've enjoyed today. A time of already studying your word in Sunday school. Time of fellowship with friends, believers, visitors. Thank you, Lord, that many folks who have been away from us because of sickness or travel or work are able to be here today. We thank you for that. We still miss those that are away from us. We pray for their healing. We pray for their safety as they return. And we look forward to when we can all be back here all at the same time again and just fill this building up every week. Now, Lord, I pray that in these next few moments, that you'll speak to all of us. May we listen to your Holy Spirit. May nothing distract us or take away our attention. Lord, may we be focused entirely upon you speaking to us today. Very important area, very important matter in our lives. Lord, in this day and time, Lord, it's very important that we make sure that you're in the first place, in the proper place in our lives. And this I pray in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. You may be seated. Keeping God in the first place in your life. It doesn't take much to figure out that there are many things in our lives that seek to claim our time, that seek to claim our attention. They want to take away our focus, want to take away our time, and even take away our money. Have you noticed that if you don't tell your money what to do, it does it on its own? Have you noticed that? Dave Ramsey used to say that all the time. I find it's very true. But I've also learned that most of the problems that we face in our lives, most of the problems can be traced to not putting God in that first place in some area of your life. You begin to go through some things and you got to sit back and look and say, wait a minute, some things are beyond my control, but wait a minute, some things are a direct result of not putting God where He's supposed to be. Some things we get ourselves in trouble. We get ourselves in situations and relationships and our jobs, our families, our finances, and in other things. And many times it's because God's not in the first place. There was a moment in time where we didn't seek God. We didn't ask for His direction. We just did our own thing. And God no longer was in first place. And then when we get into a mess, we start looking around, and when we've done all that we think we ought to do, then we say, "Lord, help." And the Lord said, "If you'd put me first, start with, you wouldn't be in that predicament." So how can we keep God in the first place in our lives? How can God be number one? You know, if you're a sports fan, that's the big deal, right? Some of you have been walking around here the last week or so reminding everybody who's number one in a particular sport. Other sports are getting ready to, today and in a couple weeks, they're going to find out who's the number one in the professional football arena. And, you know, it's a big deal when you're number one. All you people in orange know what I'm talking about, right? That's a big deal. And some of us, some of our sports teams have never been number one in some of them. But you know, I think it's very important, it's more important than sports, to have God number one in our lives. So how can we do that? I'm going to give you three simple things this morning. And we're going to look at some verses in the Psalms. So you can just back up a few pages and keep your Bible open and we'll go along through here. How can we keep God first in our lives? Number one, we keep Him first in our conversation. Keep God first in our conversation. Let the first conversation, I'm going to give you some practical things this morning to make this happen. So based on everything we talked about last week in regarding to giving, our finances, putting God first, now we're going to see, okay, how does this work every day? What is this? How does this make it happen? Let the first conversation of your day be a prayer to God. Let the first conversation of your day, write that down, be a prayer to God. You say, "Preacher, you don't know how it is around my house." We're trying to get up, get ready, get there. We're wide open all morning. You know, it's just everything else. You know, just an extra 5 minutes or 10 minutes will make a great difference. Just before you wake everybody else up, before you do any other task, just ask God to help you. Try this. Let your first conversation be a prayer to God. Psalm 63. I'm going to give you some verses. I'll read these for you. Psalm 63 verse 1 says, "O God, Thou art my God. Early will I seek Thee." Boy, that's good. Early will I seek Thee. In fact, you'll look at the example of Jesus. Jesus, many times, would go out early in the morning and pray to His Heavenly Father before the day would start. And so what a great example. In Psalm 143, in verse 8, I've got that up there for you. I'll read it for you. The psalmist David writes, "Cause me to hear Thy loving kindness in the morning." Did you get that? "Cause me to hear Thy loving kindness in the morning, for in Thee do I trust." Boy, I tell you what, wouldn't it be great if we could just begin our day and the first conversation you could say that I had today, I had with the Lord. Just say, "God, thank you." Boy, that's a good start. Hey, you woke up, amen? That's a good place to start. You're still there. House is still here and lights are still on, the heat's still running, and, you know, let the first conversation of your day be a prayer to God. Now, I say that because I think one of the things that we allow to happen in our busy lives is allow our prayer life to sort of get down on the low part of the priority. And we use the excuse, "Oh, I'm busy." Really? Oh. Everybody else is busy. But you know, you've got the same 24 hours a day that everybody else has. Every leader of a country, every leader of business, and every CEO has the same amount of time that you've got. It's how you use it, how you manage it. And if we could just say, Lord, help me that the first conversation I have of the day be a prayer to God. You know what you might find? The rest of your conversations might go a whole lot better. The rest of the conversations at work and at school, with family and with people that you may run into, those conversations may be a lot better if the very first conversation you have in the day is a conversation with God Almighty, your Heavenly Father. Just start out, say, morning, Lord. Yeah, let's get it started today. Talk to Him. Listen to Him. How can we keep God first in our lives? We keep Him first in our conversation. Notice number two. You're going to think it's a little strange, but stay with me. Number two, write down the word meal. Your first meal of the day. Now, I'm not talking about breakfast. Thank God for eggs and grits and bacon and sausage and biscuits and gravy. Amen. Pancakes and all that kind of stuff. Praise God for that. But I'm not talking about that. Let the first meal of your day be from the Word of God. Let the first meal of your day be from the Word of God. The psalmist writes in Psalm 34:8. I like this. Says, O taste and see that the Lord is good. Taste and see that the Lord is good. You know, the prophet Jeremiah was commanded by God to take the word of God that he'd written down and take and physically eat it in front of the people to remind them of a lesson that he wanted them to know. To literally eat the word of God. If the first thing you do following your first conversation and allow your first meal of the day be spiritual food, your physical food will taste a whole lot better, I'm sure. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. I wrote down Psalm 119, and can't write down all the verses because there's 176 verses in this chapter. It's the longest chapter in the Bible. And Psalm 119 is all about the love of the Word of God. Almost every verse has a reference to God's Word, using words like law, or testimonies, or commandments, or ways, or statutes. Any of those terms are used, many of those things, to refer to the Word of God. And so, what would be a good way to start your desire and appreciation for the Word of God is take Psalm 119 and read a few of those verses every morning. Verses like verse 97 tells us, Oh, how I love thy law. It is my meditation all the day. Down in verse 103, the psalmist writes, How sweet are thy words unto my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth. The word of God can be sweet. The word of God can be tasty. And just as much as we emphasize and take the time, and we should, to prepare the physical food and care for our physical needs, I'm afraid that many Christians are starving to death spiritually because they never partake of the Word of God like they should. And I'm talking get in the Word. I'm not talking about just read something and spend more time reading what somebody else said about it than actually reading it. But get in the Word of God. Couple ways to help you. We give a little reading chart, how to help you read through the Bible every year. Many of you do that. We've given certificates to everybody who does that each year. And if you have, last year in 2016, if you have followed that or done some other way that you read through the entire Word of God in a year, you send me a text or write your name down, give it to me after service or sometime, one of the services, and I'll have our secretary prepare a certificate and we'll present that to you. I've done that several years. I encourage you. My pastor did that when I was a young teenager. Challenged me to read the Bible all the way through, and I went, what? Read the Bible all the way through? Man. But you know, you read all the other books. novels, and fiction, and short stories, and biographies, and everything else. My pastor taught me that if you read 3 chapters a day, 5 on Sunday, you'll go through the whole Bible in less than a year. That was pretty simple to follow. Then we made a little check sheet there to help you do that. I have found something that I do over the last several years in addition to that. I like to read the Psalms and the Proverbs. You find that in Proverbs there are 31 chapters. How many days a month typically? They're either 31 or 30. We have 1 month a year that's 28. Whatever day of the month it is, today's the 22nd. I spent time in Proverbs 22 this morning. And that's just how I do it. I read a proverb a day. Others have learned that if you read 5 psalms every morning, just 5, you'll read all the psalms in a month. Do that every month, in addition to your other reading, your other studies. You see, there's a lot of ways that you can get into the Word of God. One of the tragedies, I think, of our modern church is this. We depend on everybody else to tell us what we ought to think, what we ought to know. We depend on everybody else to help us form our opinions or our attitudes or our philosophies. When in reality, most of our modern churches today don't spend time teaching God's Word. They spend time telling you what they think about God's Word. And people don't know basic stuff. They don't know, they can't name the Ten Commandments or name the 12 disciples. Or how about just name all the books of the Bible in order? That's not hard. But those are things. I mean, we can name all the other stuff, pop culture and entertainment and music and movies and all those kinds of things. We could quote stuff. But we can't quote the Word of God. And it's a tragedy. So how do you keep God first? Let your first conversation be a prayer to God every day. Secondly, let your first meal be from the Word of God. Pray to God every morning. Read God's Word every day, every morning, before you start. And you don't have to spend 2 hours. If you want to spend 2 hours, help yourself. You know, that's fine. But you just spend a few minutes in the Word of God, and that'll help you throughout the day. I have found, in my experience as a Christian and as a pastor, in the busyness of my life, when I neglect those things first of all, my day sort of gets all messed up. It kind of just doesn't feel right. I get edgy. I know that surprises some of y'all. Y'all never believe that. I mean, I get ill, you know, and I just something's missing, something's not right. But I have found that when I spend time with God talking to Him, when I spend time feasting on the Word of God, my day seems to go a whole lot better. No matter what I may face, I'm prepared for it. I'm ready for it. Because me and God have been together. Well, there's a third thing I want to help you with this morning. How to keep God first in your life. And I think we need to keep Him first in our thoughts. Now, if you're doing the first thing and the second thing, the third thing is going to come pretty naturally. Some people get up first thing in the morning. They're thinking about everything they got to do that day. There's the kids, there's the bills to pay, there's the errands to be run. Okay, everybody's got all that. But if we say, Lord, help me, if we do the first thing and the second thing, the third thing is going to flow pretty good. Let the first thoughts of your day, write this down, the first thoughts of your day be thoughts about God's goodness to you, your family, your church, your nation. Let the first thoughts of your day be thoughts of God's goodness. Now, the devil doesn't want you to do that. He wants to start your day off all messed up. He wants you worried and stressed. I mean, you know, he wants you to think about everything you got to do, and everything that didn't get done yesterday. There's that pile of laundry that didn't get folded. There's those dishes over there. There's those errands that didn't get run. The car needs to take, you know, it's just all of this, and we just get up. No wonder we can't sleep. No wonder when we do fall asleep, we don't sleep good. Let the first thoughts of your day. Psalm 37. That's a wonderful passage. something we hear but quoted sometimes. We didn't know maybe where it was. Psalm 37, verses 23 to 35, Psalmist David writes, "The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way." Do you delight in your day when you get up, before you even hit the floor? Are you delighting what God's going to do for you that day? "Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord," get this now, "upholdeth him with his hand." God's got you with his hand, folks. You don't have to get up stressed and worried about what's going to take place that day. God's got you in his hand. Now watch this. "I have been young and now I'm old. Yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread." What a wonderful truth that is. When you get up in the morning and your first conversation is a prayer to God, your first meal is a feasting from the Word of God, then you begin having those thoughts of what God's done for you. We spend more time sometimes thinking about what we don't have instead of being thankful for what we already got. There's a lot of folks that love to have what you got this morning if you think about it. Let the first thoughts of your day be of God's goodness. And you know, one of the things that will help you do that is what many of you are doing right now. Just write them down. I love that song, Jeannie. "Count your many blessings. Name them one by one." A pastor encouraged me early on in my walk with the Lord to keep a journal or prayer list. Write down things. Write down answered prayer. Write down things. And Joe, one thing that's good to do is just like what that song says. Name them one by one. If you're having a pity party day, you have one of those days where it's not going right, nothing works out good, little man can't get ahead, and all this kind of stuff. And wait a minute, hang on. Get your piece of paper out. Write down everything God's done for you. Write down everything good you got in your life. You'll find you'll start writing, "Well, I got something else. I'll think of something else." You'll start writing. You'll need another piece of paper. Some of you might find you'll need more than one piece of paper. Several. Because God's been good.
Amen.
I mean, just God's been good. I heard a testimony based upon last Sunday morning's sermon. I had folks coming out last Sunday morning telling me, I said, "Preacher, you're exactly right what you hit on." I began tithing, putting God first in my finances, and had all these medical bills, and I didn't know how it was going to work out, but we just kept on trusting God, and boy, they began sharing testimonies how they got refund checks from the doctor's office. You ever heard of such a thing? Yeah. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hospital says, "Oh, you've overpaid. We want to give it back to you." Go ahead. Bring it on. Just keep putting God first.
Amen.
Just like I said last week, just prove Him. Just prove Him. Now, I'm not saying that God's going to get every week going to send you a check that you wasn't expecting. But if God chooses to, He can do it.
Amen.
Just mark her down. And there are many others that I've heard of. The fact that, you know, when you put God first, everything else just sort of falls in place after that. If God is where He's supposed to be and number one in your life, then all the other things you've got to deal with and take care of, they'll fall in place and they'll come together. Just put Him first. That's why the Ten Commandments are written the way they are. You notice the first ones deal with God's demanding our relationship with Him be first and foremost. No other gods before me. Worship me and honor me. You say, "Preacher, all that's well and good, but you just don't know what I have to live with. You don't know what I have to put up with. You don't know my past. You don't know this, that." No, wait a minute. God does. And He's the one that said all of this. He's the one that said, "Prove me. Put me first in your life and prove if I won't pour out the blessings of heaven. Open up the windows of heaven," as He said in Malachi. Could you imagine God opening up His window and just pouring out His blessing? Boy, that's good. That's good. And I said, "God, bring it on. Bring it on. I'll take it. God said, you got to put me first. You got to trust me. Now, don't go leaving out of here and say, okay, I'm going to do this so I can get this from God. And I'm going to get this from God. Wait a minute. You missed the point. You missed the point. We should put God first. And if God doesn't do another single thing for you, God's been better to you than you've ever deserved.
Amen.
If he doesn't give you another thing, God's been better to you than you've ever deserved. But God says, I want to give to you. I want to bless you. But you got to trust me. You got to do it my way. And that's not Frank Sinatra's song. Did it my way. God says, you do it my way. And I'll bless you more than you've ever imagined. I'll do things in your life that you didn't know could happen if you just trust me. Said, okay, we spent a lot of time in Psalms and we started in Proverbs, but for all you folks who think that stuff doesn't apply unless it's said in the New Testament, let me give you a conclusion. And let me remind you what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6. In the midst of this Sermon on the Mount, this wonderful time where Jesus, and we find written the version in Matthew takes up nearly three whole chapters. Jesus gives us a great truth in Matthew chapter 6. And before I read verse 33, let me read the... Boy, if I go all that far back, it'll take a while. But verse 31, therefore Jesus said, take no thought. In other words, don't worry. Saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? Take no thought means don't worry about it. That's what the Greek phrase means. Don't worry about it. Take no thought. Don't worry about it. Verse 32. For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things. He knows what you need. Before you even know you need it. And then verse 33 is where I want you to remember. Underline this in your Bible. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. The very words of the Lord Himself. Put God first. All these other things come into play. Again, I believe many of the problems that we get ourselves in, if we'll be honest, we can look back and say, whoops, that was a time I didn't put God first. That's a time I didn't trust God for my needs. That's the time I decided to go do something else instead of being faithful to God in my life and my worship and other areas. There's a lot of us got a lot of oops in our lives, don't we? Oh, yeah. But isn't it wonderful how God still loves us anyway? Isn't it wonderful how God still stands there and says, okay, you messed it up. But if you just put me first, I hope you get it all back in order. Put God first. Let's pray together. Lord, we seek to give you to this morning, to give you the first of our lives. Lord, we've shared some very practical things how to help that to be. But Lord, what it comes down to is this. We have to make a purposely conscious decision to do it. It's not something that's just going to happen. Not something just because we heard a sermon or because we walked an aisle. And it's just not going to automatically. It's something we have to decide every single day. Lord, I'm going to put you first. I'm going to do this first. And trust you with this. Lord, I'm going to trust you. What you said in your word is true. I'm going to put you first. And Lord, we've messed up our lives so many times we can't even count. Most of the time it was because it was some area we did not put you first. Forgive us where we failed you. Thank you, Lord, for forgiveness this morning. Thank you, Lord, for your cleansing power of your blood. And thank you that we can come before you today and start all over. Starting right now. God says, yeah, let's just start today. Put me first. And watch me help you take care of the rest. Lord, one of the things I learned through my life is just trust you and leave the results up to you. So, Father, I pray we would learn that today. Whatever area, Lord, I do not know anybody that may be struggling with anything or any issue in their life. Lord, through your Holy Spirit, you this week have led me to prepare this message. There must be somebody, maybe a lot of us, me included, that need to do this better every day. Lord, we love you and we thank you for loving us. If there's any need in our life, is there one here that does not know you as Savior? They'll come and make that most important decision, put you first. But whatever it is we need to do to be right with you, I pray we do it in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. We're going to stand and sing a great hymn, invitation hymn. Have thy